This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Afternoon, welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, we'll be giving away tickets at the end of the week, so if you want a chance to win some tickets to Michigan State hockey or Michigan State basketball, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783. Well, now we've got our first guest of the day, the MSU basketball coach, Tom Izzo, is with us. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
What time you had me on? I feel like I haven't been on in a decade.
Yeah, it has been a while.
That's been my fault, not yours. But
hey, you're a busy man.
You follow everything. I saw you out this weekend.
Yep.
I don't think you miss a beat.
Well, I try not to. I'm getting old, but I'm trying not to. I'm slowing down a little bit, but we all have to compensate at some time during the line. That's one thing that I wanted to ask you. Over all the years that you've been coaching, is there any one thing or difficult to get across to the kids? You know, do you have that one thing there that you know they're going to struggle with it?
Well, I would think this year it's turnovers. You know, I'm not getting it across very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, it's trying to get guys to be able to self-evaluate, I'd say, would be the one most common thing there is, because if you aren't good at it, then you never think you're not doing the things right because you can't evaluate them right. And it's very difficult for everybody, me included, to self-evaluate. But I think it's the key. Successful people, I remember Cleves, you know, he played in a game that I thought he played pretty good, and he thought he was awful. And he was just such a tough self-evaluator that it kept him motivated and going. And I think over the years, that's the one thing I've noticed that is lacking, is the ability to self-evaluate, which gives you the ability then, or the non-ability to self-motivate.
Yeah, because I would say, yes, it's really hard for people to be honest with themselves about themselves.
Yeah.
That's one of the most difficult things there is to do. And especially with the young kids, everybody's been telling them, as you know, they've been so great ever since they were 8 or 9 years old. It's hard for them to figure it out and decide.
Well, I think that's a big thing that's happened in the last 10 years since kids can now transfer high schools and easier and transfer AAU programs easier and just plain AAU programs. Everybody's afraid to tell a kid what he needs to hear because he'll just transfer.
Yeah.
And so then it's created some issues that I think are hard, and I almost feel sorry for the kids sometimes.
Yes, because they've got to try to figure out, well, is the coach really trying to help me? Is my
right.
Buddies over there, are they doing what's best for me? It's got to be hard for the kids for sure.
It's
tough. Well, your team now is 5-1. It's off to a good start, but like you said, the turnovers has been a problem the last few couple of games.
It really has, and unexcusable. And you know, I said that a little bit last year. So first of all, I got to look at myself and say, aren't we doing a good enough job emphasizing it? But this year, I really believe we've had some, we've got a lot of guys playing that haven't played much together. You know, we've never played Nixon Payne together. Gary Harris never played. Travis Trice, you know, when he was playing, and then Valentine's a freshman and he didn't. And Brandon Dawson, you know, he didn't get to play all spring, summer, fall with the guys because he was rehabbing. And so, you know, there's a lot of new parts in there. Even the old parts are new parts because of either injuries, playing a different position, or not playing with the guys that are here now. So it's going to be part of the growing process, and it's disheartening, disappointing. And yet when you're 10-12 up with 5, 7, 8 minutes left, you know, sometimes those turn into 20-point wins. and sometimes they turn into nail biters.
Yes. Now, the thing about Gary Harris, he just seemed to have fit in so smoothly and so nicely. Were you surprised that the guy came in and haven't played any college ball, just seemed to pick up everything and fit in? I mean, he's a good defender. He's a good shooter. I mean, he does everything. Seemed like he does everything pretty well.
Maybe one of the more educated basketball players I've had here. I mean, I'm amazed what he's picked up and how fast he picks it up. Great tribute to him and his family. I mean, he just has a knack to understand what's going on, and then he has the athletic ability to do it. I mean, I think I'm lucky. I think I got three freshmen that all, I mean, we're going to see that Costello is going to grow as he gets this injury. And, you know, we can look at Valentine. I'm hard on him about his turnovers, but the guy's playing almost 25, 28 minutes a game, as a freshman without certain people around him, because we're depleted a little bit right now. So if I looked at it that way, he's actually doing a heck of a job. We just need more out of him because of our situation right now.
Yes. How much is Alex progressing? Because I saw he played 8 minutes yesterday, and his sheet looked like he did an okay job. How do you see him in his progression?
Well, I think it's been okay. I keep telling Alex if he'd fall in love with the game, he's got the skills to be a very good player. But, somebody's going to win that position between him and Costello. The chance of both of them playing the same amount of minutes are not going to be as good. I mean, one's going to creep ahead of the other, and that's what this time of year is for, to see who does. It's been a little hard because Matt has been injured, so he's been out for 2.5 weeks, and so that played a little bit slowing his process, and yet there's times Alex, as far as practice and everything, is as good as anybody we got, but it's spending time and being consistent on the game that he struggles with. So, that isn't our biggest problem. Our biggest problem has been our perimeter and our turnovers and our lack of depth on the perimeter. So we're playing guys. All the guys are playing more minutes than I think they ever thought they would.
Yeah. Do you see all your big guys, do you see them having meshed yet? I mean, the seem like the ball, smaller guys in your smaller, quicker lineup has got together more faster than what the big guys have.
Well, if you looked at statistically, I mean, we had Knicks up where he was, averaging 8 points and 9 rebounds. He dropped a little bit in the rebounding, and Payne has had a couple big games in a row up until the last one, but is averaging, 7-8 rebounds. The only thing that kept him from a double-double, if you ask me, was all the foul trouble he had early. So I have not been disappointed with those two guys. I really haven't. And Appling's been really good. And the other guys are just, some are young, some have been injured, and some are coming back. So we're going to be better, and we get everybody healthy, then our depth will really help us. And it's just going to be, we had to weather the storm. We've weathered some of it. There's still some storm left coming, but we've weathered some of it.
Yeah, I was also pleasantly surprised to see how well Brandon Kearney, I mean, he hit some big shots in that game the other day. Is he come along a lot better or quicker? Because he's been quiet, but he's always been quiet. But he seems like he's starting to master things.
He is a quiet kid. He got a lot stronger this summer, and that's helped him some. But, what he is he's a very versatile guy that can, he can guard different kinds of people. He understands the game very well. He's shooting it better than he did. He hit some threes yesterday, and that's been a plus. I think at times trying to do a little bit more, and it hurt him a little bit in the turnovers, but we've had a lot of guys trying to do that. But I think in general, Kern has made some progress. People forget he was playing 12, 13, 14 minutes a game at the end of last year. He's in there in crunch time in some of those big tournament games. So, he's making some progress, and I think it'll be better, too, if we didn't have to be playing him 28 minutes, 27 minutes. I don't think he was really, truly ready for that.
Yeah. How do you see the team, the confidence of the team? I assume after beating Kansas that the team, that their confidence just grew. Did it happen like that? Did that Kansas game give a lot more confidence?
Well, I think it does, but I don't think one game should make you or break you in any way. I think it kind of showed you where we can be if we can all get together. I mean, I think Kansas is going through some growing pains, too. You know, the next game, they were down 12 at halftime to an average team. So it's not like this doesn't happen to all of us that don't have great experience. We really don't have very much experience. And the experience we have of a Dawson starting 25 games last year, whatever he started, get negated by the 7 months he had off. So, you know, it's going to take some time, and it's going to be frustrating for me, them, and you. But I still think the parts are there if we can just keep bringing them together and avoiding any catastrophes, meaning more injuries or something. We're going to get better.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you this because, as you know, I'm a little partial to your assistants. I know them all pretty well. So, but how do you think it just seems like they're really working well together now?
I think that's been one of the bright spots. I think you're right on. I think, you know, new assistants are like new players, you know, and Dean comes in and we lose Monty and DJ moves up in a different role and it's the same thing, you know. It's adjustments, but I think that that line you just used is very true. I think they're working well together, and I think they are doing a good job. We just need more time between each game so they can coach instead of wear their suits.
Yes, I got it. You apologized the other day for that crazy schedule you've got there, boy. You've got games coming up, but you've just got a lot of games on top of games.
Well, it's not. I was thinking that it would die down, but, you know, we play Wednesday. We'll probably get home at 3 in the morning, and then Thursday's an off day, and then you practice. You got one day prep again, and you play at noon on Saturday. And so that part of it, I've been disappointed in me on, because I guess and they've moved some games, Saturday night games, to Saturday noon. That's another day of practice, because usually day of a game you could have a shoot around, a walk through, or a little practice, especially if it's a Saturday. We've had two or three Saturday or Sundays when we're playing at noon, and that negates that. So been a lot of different things that we've had to deal with.
Yeah, that's for sure. But hey, you deal with them, and the guys, that's something that they learn. They learn from that, as you know, over the long run, by the time NCAA tournament comes around, they're just about ready for anything, aren't they?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, you've got to make sure you get there, and that's the job of not letting things slide. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, they're learning under the gun. I mean, playing a lot of minutes. Every guy is playing a lot of minutes, you know, and playing with, you know, some adversity with the injuries. And you know, we played. I mean, Oakland's a pretty good team, and Boise's a very good team. And I think, you know, I didn't think Texas Southern was as good. And I didn't think the team we played yesterday was as good as we made them.
Yeah.
But they're not. You know, dog teams, they're just not as good. I mean, we should beat them by more than we did, and that's disappointing.
Before I let you go, how good is the Big Ten going to be this year?
Well, I think it's by far the best conference. I mean, if you look at Illinois, was picked, what, 8th, 9th, I think, and they win the Maui. Now, there's extenuating circumstances, meaning, you know, people got upset out there, and there were a couple of different, you know, things like that. But they're showing that the bottom, I think Nebraska right now is 5-1 or 4-1. And, you know, everybody knows that the Wisconsins and Northwesterns and are going to be good. And then at the top right now with Indiana and Ohio State and Michigan, I mean, those are all good teams and good teams with a lot of veterans back. So that's gonna help in a lot of ways, you know, and most of the good teams, I think they're going to have their work cut out playing some of the lesser teams. And Iowa is really good. Minnesota bounced back and won 2 out of 3 in that tournament, you know. And so I think it's going to be an exciting year, one you're going to have fun with, knowing you.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Tom. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
All right, we'll
have to do that a little bit later on again.
More often.
Okay.
Right,
yep. See you later, Tom. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's MSU coach Tom Izzo talking basketball with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And now we're going to talk volleyball with head coach Kathy George. But first, you're listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing.
In the end, Israel and Hamas signed on to a ceasefire. But winners and losers in this conflict stretch from Cairo to Ankara to Tehran and Washington, D.C. I'm Neil Conan, the winners and losers after the latest Middle East conflict, plus our weekly read of the opinion page. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. The high today, 35 degrees, and it'll be mostly cloudy today and tonight. Look for a low tonight of 22. Partly sunny on Tuesday, the high tomorrow 36, and a chance of flurries in partly sunny Wednesday, the high 38.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk volleyball. The Michigan State volleyball team got a bid to go to the NCAA tournament once again. And we've got the head coach Kathy George on the line. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Okay. It's good to see that you got in 23-9. You finished in the middle of the pack. Are you pleased with this season, the way it's been going thus far?
Well, you know, it's funny. Going into the last week, we were anywhere from, you know, fourth in the conference to sixth in the conference. And, you know, it really can come down to any one game because it's so competitive all the way through.
Yeah. Now, what is let me jump ahead right quick. What will Maryland and Rutgers add to the Big Ten? How are they in volleyball?
Well, Maryland is a pretty physical team. They're decent. They're not rated in the top 25, or I'm not even sure where their RPI exactly is. But they're a decent team. And then Rutgers is a little bit they struggle a little bit, but they're not of the conference strength currently. But I'm sure that they will. I know that they have the resources to do so.
Yes. Now, what about you're going out to play San Diego? How good is San Diego? I mean, usually those West Coast teams are pretty good, aren't they?
Well, they really are, and they're just they're such a balanced team. I look across the board at their statistics, and now I'm watching them on tape. They're just a very solid team. They don't make many errors. They're going to make you earn your points, and they play defense with the best of them. So they're probably ranked, and I haven't looked up their national ranking, but they're number one in the league in digs per game, and I'm sure that's going to put them in the top five or so in the country.
Boy, that means you've got a tough job ahead of you.
Absolutely. But, you know, they're very, very, very good. But I also, you know, I like what we can do as well with our matchups.
Okay. And hopefully, you know, you get by them. How does that bracket, how do you like being in that bracket that they got you in?
Well, you know, you go to UCLA, who's going to play LIU Brooklyn. Chances are pretty good for UCLA in that draw, but they did win the national championship last year, UCLA. So although they're rated seventh right now, they're the seventh seed in this tournament. They're pretty strong. They graduated one or two people off that national championship team that finished ahead of Illinois last year in the final. But they're very talented. They're led by two outside hitters. That one of them is 6'6", the other one 6'4". They're pretty strong.
Yes. Now, the Big Ten is known, as you know, known for is one of the best volleyball conference in the country. When you go out there to play other teams like that, do they sort of recognize that? Do you see they've got maybe even prepared a little bit more because they probably think everybody from the Big Ten is really good?
Well, they know that, and I think that the way people look at the Big Ten is that we're very big and physical. And when you look at some of the West Coast teams, especially those from the West Coast Conference, they're made up of defensive players. You know, they're really strong that way. They play very good volleyball. They've been playing forever, and they don't make unforced errors. So you look at the dynamic. They're saying that we're an attack and block team, types of teams out here in the Midwest, and that over there you're saying they're just really good volleyball players. And really, I look at UCLA, they're pretty strong and physical too, so they stack up in the Big Ten that way with physicality. But, San Diego is just so strong, and they do have several very strong attackers, so we will have to line up in both areas. They know the Big Ten is strong, but you know, I'm sure that doesn't matter to them.
Yeah. Now, how good have you gotten over the year? I know we talked a bit in the beginning of the year, and you mentioned a few things you've had to deal with. So how have you gotten since the beginning of the year?
Well, you know, I think we're a very strong team, and we're a team that prides itself on its chemistry and its just its defensive effort and its balance. We've worked real hard together, and, you know, I think we've had a very good year, and most would have thought we wouldn't have had a chance to be in the running, and yet we knocked off two top 10 opponents nationally. In those kind of regards, we've had a better season than we've had in the last couple of years. We've broken so many different records this year in terms of MSU history, but we're confident in that. We know that we're doing some great things, but it's because of the way the team works. It's the way they work together, the way they invest in each other, and so you're reaping the benefits of all those things coming together.
It really does seem, I mean, when I saw them even the earlier, it just seems like they've bonded, the veterans and the freshmen, incoming freshmen, have bonded so well together.
Exactly, and that's what it takes. I mean, to be a really special team, you need to be able to count on each other through thick and thin. And we've been obviously tested by some of the best teams in the nation, and it's week in and week out. And so you have to stay strong, you have to stay resilient, and that's what this team has been capable of doing.
What makes Penn State so good?
Oh, dang it. They are really good. And, you know, we finished our year with them, and that's not an easy task, especially on their senior night at their home court.
Yeah.
They were very, very strong. But they're, you know, they really have been year in and year out getting some of the best recruits in the country. They're stacking up at about 6'4", 6'5", across the board. They jump well. They played a lot of volleyball. They're just, you know, they're really doing a nice job in the recruiting efforts and have been known as traditionally such a strong team. And so I think they're just attractive to recruits and have been able to maintain that over the years.
Oh, yes, they have. I mean, they've got such a strong program. And yours is getting, I mean, it seems like you've been getting better and better recruits at least the last few years.
We had a great signing class, and we're really excited about how they're going to add to the group that we have right now and giving us a little bit more of that size that, you know, I don't feel that we're one of the tallest teams in the league. We're really not. We're probably ranking out somewhere about in the mid part of the league in terms of our size and our physicality. But, you know, now when we start bringing in this recruiting class, we're going to start stacking up with the very top. But then we have to maintain our volleyball skill and presence that way.
Yes. Yes, you put together a very good program and certainly are taking the team up back to the NC2A tournament. If you get past San Diego, then, boy, you've got a pretty tough draw.
We sure do. But, you know, again, it's just what we've been seeing all year long. And I think that bodes well for us in that sense. I don't think we'll be intimidated by UCLA. I think it's just another one of those types of teams that we face day in and day out.
Well, can you get me in your trunk to take you out there? I mean, you're going to San Diego, I mean to LA, at a great time of the year.
Oh, I know. As temperatures start dropping, it does look pretty nice. So, I do think it'll be nice. And, you know, just getting some sunshine and getting us out there and then getting prepared, you know, for the teams that we have to face. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will. It certainly should be a great year. And you've had a great year in basketball for you, Kathy. And congratulations to you and the team. It's been a great year, and you know, just watching it from afar, you know, everybody seems to be getting well together, getting along together, and it really seems that you know the players get along each other. Do you often have teams that get along so well, especially since happened early in the semester?
You know, I think the thing that's really important to note is it's not necessarily about getting along as it is playing well together. And I know that with sometimes female teams, it's you can find that a team that's really close in terms of close-knit friendships and those types of things, they may not operate too well. And the reason is they let their friends off the hook instead of holding high standards. And this team does get along. They get along with each other, but they hold standards. And I think that's the difference. And you need to be able to say, you know, it's not going to affect us off the court if I'm demanding with you on the court. And I think, you know, this team has been able to maintain that. We've been able to ask for the order. We've been able to say, listen, we've got to practice hard. We've got to play hard. We have high expectations. And yet we respect that. We're asking of that, of each other that. So if that makes any sense.
Yes. It's got to be difficult. Over the years, do you have many teams that, you know, buy into that?
It was funny just bringing that up. A team that, in the Final Four, I took a team to the Final Four in the 80s, late 80s, I think. And that team really did not get along. But they played hard together, and it was very interesting just to see those dynamics. And then I've had teams that have been they're the best friends in the world, but they don't play well together because they let each other, like I said, off the hook. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that. We are here to, you know, be the very best volleyball team we can, and the friendships are secondary. And, you know, you really need to push to be the very best team you can, and that means asking the people on the team to give of themselves and work beyond their comfort zones and those types of things and ask them for a little bit more. But this team does get along extremely well, and they are good friends, and they do play hard together. But, you know, to find the exceptional teams, those are the ones that can, hey, say, hey, get it together. You know, yeah, I need you to come, you know, you need to do this job for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And not worry about offending them or making them upset with them.
Yeah, they have to hold their teammates accountable.
Absolutely, and not worry about them being offended.
Mm-hmm. And that might be hard to do in some ways. I've talked to other coaches in other sports, and they always say that's a pretty hard thing to do. Just making because everybody wants to be their best friend.
Right, and some people are just non-confrontational. You know, you have different personalities that are comfortable with you know, asking for that order, and other people that just aren't. So you need to have the great leadership, and I think that's really we have phenomenal leadership this year, and it has set the tone, and it's, you know, they've been able to ask for the order in a way that gets everybody to understand, hey, we're doing this because we want to, you know, complete our mission, and as long as they're staying on that track, it's been really successful.
You know, with the volleyball as a sport, we've seen with basketball and football, so many kids are moving out there, you know, moving to the southern states and stuff. But how is volleyball? How is volleyball in the Midwest?
Well, you know, you always have some that will go out to the West Coast to play, or out, you know, out east or south. But, you know, the Big Ten is such a strong volleyball conference that you typically do see some of the best athletes staying here at home.
And which is good, yeah, because the more it makes it better when athletes really want to stay home and go to the local school at home. Sometimes that doesn't happen, though, does it?
No, you know, you see there's a couple kids that will every year slip out to the West Coast, and, you know, and some of them are adding sand volleyball, and that's important to some of the players out this way that want to look for a career in that area. So you are losing a few, but that happens. But because of the strength of the conference, and because, you know, the Big Ten gets such TV exposure, and they get so many All-Americans, and the attendance is strong across the board, they like to stay at home and be able to play in those venues.
Now, you just mentioned the sand volleyball. Do you have many kids that like to play on your team and such, that like to play sand volleyball during the summer?
Well, they really do enjoy playing, and some people in some game styles, a person that's really good in ball control, and they're very well-rounded in all their skills, they typically will want to play some sand volleyball and see what they can do in the future. I was talking to a girl at Penn State the other day, and she's finishing up her eligibility. She's a senior there, and she's really wanting to pursue her career in that area. And I know that, you know, the game really can be extended to the beach, and they'll look for opportunities in the summer to play as much as possible. Down in Lake Michigan, you'll find a lot of tournaments, you know, whether it's in Muskegon or South Haven or the like. You can just kind of go along the beachfront and find different tournaments. And so they like to do that, and they gravitate towards that in the summer. And it does improve their game in the indoor.
Yes, I would say so. That bodes well for you know, for kids. They want to continue playing. They can that can be a venue for them, for young women to keep playing. Doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's neat.
Yeah. Yeah, so, hey, Coach, it's always a pleasure talking with you because you've got a good team, and you're in the NC2A tournament again. And congratulations and best of luck to you as you head out to face San Diego. Now, somehow you got to find a way to put me in your trunk and carry me with
you.
Yeah,
I'll get you in that warm weather, huh? I'm sure you
like
that.
Yeah, I'd like some of that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you take care and have a happy holiday.
Okay, you too,
all
Coach.
Right, yeah,
thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Head Coach Kathy George of the Michigan State Volleyball Team. Hey, give us a call if you want to have a chance to win tickets to Michigan State basketball or Michigan State hockey. That's 884-4783, area code 517-884-4783 for tickets to basketball or hockey. So just give us a call and register for your chance to win. We'll give the tickets away on Thursday of this week. So once again, give us a call to 884-4783. That's area code 517-884-4783. And we'll talk more sports. And hey, Aaron, I know I got to tell you, I was talking with one of my compatriots the other day, and they want to know how did we do in the football picks. I'm almost hesitant to bring that up, but they want to know what the final outcome was. Because I know I didn't pass the first guy, but you know I'm in the hunt somewhere. So if you get a chance, you can just tell me what where the standings are and what we're doing in the standings now. Next up, we're going to talk with Coach Carlton Valentine shortly, and we'll talk with him about the high school hoops that'll be starting very soon in the very near future. So we've covered college basketball, high school basketball today, and volleyball today. So we try to give you something each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. So call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And so if you can find something, what we're doing there, and see what the closure is. I know I was trailing, of course, but hey, you got the all the info there. So we'll just rely on you and what you say and how we're doing at present time. So we've got is that Jack online too? Okay. Okay. Let's go to the phones. We got Michael on the line. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? I want to ask you about the Lions game on Thanksgiving Day when the guy made the tackle.
Yep.
And he supposedly, they showed on the highlights that the knee hit the ground, but
right.
The refs couldn't, the coach from the Lions, he threw a flag down and eventually they wind up giving him a touchdown. You think they would have that kind of workout? What you think about them? Think about that whole scenario there.
Well, they say that they're reviewing the rule, so I'm pretty sure they're going to change the rule. And that's the thing. Even though he didn't do it intentionally to get the rule changed, he threw the flag out inadvertently, and he got busted for it. And he knew he shouldn't have thrown the flag out. He knew that, obviously, he said it was just a mistake on his part because he knows, you know, you can't challenge. It was going to be challenged anyway, but he just jumped the gun on that. Exactly.
Can you tell the difference between the non-union refs and the regular refs now, or is it just the same?
No, well, the union refs, they're certainly more up on the rules, and they make the when they call for a foul and something, that you know, they make the calls decisively. They show it okay, and they, you know, they're just a lot more efficient at making the calls. So I'd say there is a difference. The young guys, it's like anything, you know, when you're learning something, and that's a big, I mean, to go from a Division III or Division II coaching to coaching in the NFL, that's a huge jump.
That is a very huge jump. You could tell about the refereeing and stuff. Every call that the referees make is always on being analyzed by some commentator on ESPN. Here's another question. Speaking of that, did you watch the Benji story, the 30 on 30?
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yes.
Okay, did you watch that at the last 15, 20 minutes on how the scenario after he got shot and they wind up talking to the guy who shot him and everything? I hope that these athletes in high schools, especially since they're big men on campus, don't go on ahead and just try to put your will on anybody because you're trying to impress a girl.
Yeah.
Okay, then, Earl.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Yep.
All right, then. I'm going to let you go. You have a great day.
You
all
too,
right.
Buddy. Yep. Bye bye. And let's see. We've got another caller on the line. So who's our next caller to go to? Okay, well, let's go to the phone. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Earl.
Howdy.
Now, I know you told Schwartz to throw that flag. I know you did.
You
told him to throw that flag just because you needed to check his arm to make sure that if you got a chance to go bowling, that he would know how to, like, straighten his arm up.
Now, he jumped on it before even I could tell him that. he was so fast. He was like a quick draw, and he got his gun out the holster too quick.
Yeah, but you told him to do it. I know you did.
Well, it would have been nice, but no, I don't have that kind of clout and kind of power.
What do you think about, Michigan State just barely pulled it out yesterday, didn't they? Against, was it?
Louisiana.
Louisiana, Lafayette, whatever.
Yep.
I missed the game. I just heard the score, but man, that's too close. But
yeah, it is.
Who do you think's going to win the Michigan-Michigan State game?
Which Michigan-Michigan State game?
The when they play basketball.
Oh, that's a long way off. Right now, I have no idea.
You know what? Right now, just from what I got to send my balls back to the company, so I'm down to a transistor radio, but. I've listened to some of both Michigan and Michigan State, and I think Michigan has a real good chance of winning against State this year. And I hate to say that because I like Michigan State, but I'm pretty impressed with Michigan and what they've done so far this
year. They've done. John Beilein's done a very good job, and he's got a good hungry team. So it's going to be a battle. It's coming back to we have that rivalry again. So it's going to be a battle.
I like it. I think it's a good thing.
Yep, I do too. So hey, thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure, man.
Always good talking to you.
Next time Detroit plays, please don't tell Schwartz to throw any more flags unless he has to. Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
thank
have
you.
A good day.
You too. Bye bye. The time now is 41 minutes after the off 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
J.C. Eckhart never worried about infidelity. But after news broke about David Petraeus' affair, she confronted her husband, a naval officer of more than 2 decades of service. Promise me that won't ever happen to us. I'm Neil Cohn, and the conversation about infidelity in military marriages. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be mostly cloudy, and we're expecting a high of 35 degrees. Mostly cloudy with a low of 22 tonight. Tomorrow's high 36 and partly sunny. Partly sunny Wednesday, a chance of flurries. Wednesday's high in the upper 30s. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us. And if you want a chance to win tickets, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783. You can register for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey and MSU basketball. So just register for either one. Give us a call and tell Aaron there you want to register to win some tickets here, right here from WKAR. And we want to talk more sports with you. And I got to ask you this. We don't have our next guest call in, but I have to ask you this. Is football, NFL football, is that a little bit crazy this year? I mean, it's like every week you see teams going from week to week. That's the thing. You look for consistency. I just don't see consistency this year. You know, you see a team have a good game, then they'll have a bad game or a stinker game, and then they'll come back again and have a good game. There aren't too many really good teams. I mean, one of them, of course, is Atlanta. They're 10-1. You know, and then some of the other teams out there, like Chicago, they're like 8-3. You've got a few very good teams, but outside of that, you know, you've got a lot of teams out there that are just okay. I mean, they're just all right, but, you know, because let me look over. Yeah, you've got the 10-1 Atlanta Falcons, and you've got the 10-1 Houston Texans, who are pretty good. Then you've got Baltimore is 9-2, New England is 8-3, and then on the other side, Chicago is 8-3, Atlanta's 8-and San Francisco is 9-2-1. So you've got a lot of different things going on, but you have a lot of teams out there, and now of course we've already seen it. Everyone has to look at it and say, gee, I thought he was doing a pretty good job, like Gene Chizik, who's fired 2 years after winning the national championship game. He's gone. he's gone. He's out the door. And then there are a few other coaches of Grady Hope at Purdue. Hope is he's gone. Danny Hope, and of course, then there are a few other coaches. Tom O'Brien. You know, they're also looking for a new coach. He's not going to coach in the bowl game. Offensive coordinator Dana Dibble. Bible, that is, will be the interim head coach. So you've got a lot of interim head coaches today as a lot of the guys aren't going to be able to finish the job they started. And that, you know, when they started, you know, I'm from the era when, you know, a coach got 5 years to get his program together. Now it's down to three. And that's the thing. It's down to 3 years now, you know, so you got to come in and do a good job with somebody else's players. You got to coach them up and somehow get them to winning if you want to keep the job. So, you know, it's really on you to utilize and coach up the other guy's players. And that's got to be a tough, but, you know, now it's just about it. If you're fired after 3 years, you know, you got a chance to build the program. But you've got to build it if you want to build it your way. Just like sometimes it's good you can build it your way. If you're using the same kind of offense and defense, that may help. But sometimes some coaches they'll change everything. You know, that's what Rich Rod did when he went to Michigan, and then he had to change it again when he went to Arizona. Sometimes that works, and sometimes it just doesn't work. Well, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Earl, this is John. How are you?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, man. Hey, what happened with Chris Harrison Docks? I know that he's no longer at Butler.
Yeah, he transferred. Haven't heard reasons why he's transferred, but he just decided to transfer. I guess he, for whatever reason, he just didn't like it at Butler or whatever. But he decided to go someplace else.
Do you know where he's at now? Or?
I would assume he's probably at home, I would think, or, you know, back with
You don't know where he transferred to?
No, he hasn't made that announcement yet.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So
any chance any of the schools in Michigan will get a chance for him, like maybe U of D or any of those schools in the MAC?
I would think he'd have a chance, but
really, yeah, he's an excellent player. I mean.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he came from Louisville and such, and he's transferred up here, so. You know, it just depends on how much ties he got with coaches in the Michigan area. And who knows if he really did have a lot of ties there and it would make him consider on staying here.
I guess I was just surprised to hear he transferred so quickly, you know, after only maybe two or three games. I was wondering if there was more to the story, possibly, if you'd heard anything else.
There might have been, because, you know, you guy, when he transfers that soon, either he didn't like the situation or the guys that joined the team or chemistry or something.
Time or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when does the boys' hoop season start?
That's got to be pretty soon.
I'd say next week or
couple weeks. Yeah, either next week, probably, or maybe even the end of this week. I'm going to have to look up the schedule there.
Yeah, looking forward to that for sure. I don't know who the strong teams in the area will be, but I'm guessing Sexton will be good again.
Hopefully we'll see. I know Coach has told me, Coach Valentine has said they're thin on guards this year, so we'll have to see with them. They got a lot of good big guys up front, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they got the bigs, but yeah, you got to get that guard play.
So all right, Earl, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
okay.
it. Have a good
day. Hey, you too, buddy. Yeah, bye-bye. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So, Aaron, when you look at all this money, and you know, since we had the changes in the Big Ten, we got Rutgers now in and Maryland in. It's a lot of money, and the coaches get a lot more. I mean, the coaches do a good job. They really do a good job of getting following the money and getting the money. Coaching football, it can be very, very lucrative. Okay, hello, you're on the air.
Earl, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to call to comment on the early demise of Hector Macho Camacho.
Yeah.
It's been a sad stretch for us, Earl, in boxing.
You ain't kidding.
The week before, we lost a great one in Emmanuel Stewart. Mm-hmm. We've lost Burt Sugar. I mean, it just seems to go on and on.
Yep.
Lately. But, you know, it seems to me, Earl, I don't know if you agree, that Camacho's a certain Hall of Famer. And, mm-hmm. he's probably going to go down as one of the most intriguing fighters of his generation. You're talking from lightweight to welterweight, one of the finest fighters of his time. And I think we're also going to look at him as one of those fighters who left a lot of the table.
Yep.
If he didn't have those, you know, those street conflicts and in the distractions in his life, and you know, the drugs and alcohol, he probably could have been one of easily one of the greatest lightweights to welterweight fighters of all time. Kind of like Mike Tyson could have been one of the greatest heavyweights of all time,
yep,
except for the out of the ring distractions.
Yep.
But you know, I look back at his career, Earl, and there's been few fighters I've ever saw who entertained me more. I mean, I really look forward to all his fights. Extremely fast hands, extremely polished boxer in terms of his foot movement, his angles, his ability to evade counterpunch. I mean, when it came to being a boxer, he was the consummate boxer. And if you wanted to see how the sweet science should look in the ring, you know, you could do yourself a favor by looking at Sugar Ray Robinson and Sugar Ray Leonard and Macho Camacho. Those guys could, you know, they could bring it fast. And they could bring
yes,
it correct.
Yes, they could. And the one thing that Macho, you mentioned it, the one thing that he brought to the table, he might have been the first guy of the modern era who knew how to entertain people. You know, once they got in the ring, he just knew how to. I mean, other fighters used to watch him just to see what he was going to wear, going into a fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did have that marketing mm-hmm. angle, and you know, that intrigued a lot of people. But I was always more interested in what he did once he was in the ring, because all that extracurricular stuff he did, Earl, made people either love him or hate him.
Yep.
It made his rivals want to decapitate him once he got in the ring mm-hmm. with him. But once that bell rung, and it was just man,
he was too fast.
He was just a tremendous fighter.
He was.
And I don't know that he gets his due, but I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I read Ring Magazine this weekend, and there's an author who wrote an opinion that he thought after his Edwin Rosario fight, you remember El Chapo?
Yeah.
Where he was hurt badly in the third or fourth round, and he survived and won a split decision fight. He thought that changed Camacho's style from being a true macho counterpuncher who'd look to knock you out into a safety first fighter. And, you know, I didn't realize it in hindsight until I read that article, but the more I thought about it, the more I think that's probably true, that, you know, he changed his style and looked to win decisions and avoid the big punches landing on his chin after that. But still, all in all, just a tremendous fighter, Earl.
Yes, he was.
Gonna miss having a chance to, you know, hear him maybe do commentary or just see him at fights and just know the man's healthy. It's too bad.
Yeah.
One other quick comment, Earl, before I hang up. I think the honeymoon for Brady Hoke in Michigan is over.
Yeah.
I have never heard such vitriol against the coaching staff that I've heard in the last couple of days about the game Saturday against Ohio State, and I think it's misplaced. You know, Brady Hoke has done a fine job, I think, in turning the program around
from
where it was and bringing them up. But, man, they're really letting it go on Al Borges, the offensive coordinator. But, you know, Earl, I'll leave you with this. I remember a couple of years ago there down there in Ohio, and it was like a varsity against a JV or even a freshman team.
Yeah,
and then they went there yesterday, or Saturday rather, and they swapped paint, went man-to-man with them, and had a chance to win that game. So I think the program's on the upswing, and they're improving. But you couldn't know about some Michigan fans, Earl. They're outraged.
Yeah.
They had to roll.
That's the thing with fans. You know, I said it often. You know, they're so impatient. I mean, I knew Michigan State fans after two 11-1 seasons, they weren't going to have another 11-1 season. That was obvious. But fans, I don't know if they all expected them to be at least get 9 or 10. But that there are a lot of Michigan State fans, and just like a lot of Michigan fans, they're so upset. And you know, they shouldn't be. I mean, they had a good season, a good year, but it's like it's whatever you do, it's not enough these days.
Well, you know, the margin between, you know, two losses and four losses, or for that matter, two losses and five losses is pretty narrow. You look at State's year this past year, a lot of those games they lost they could have won, and vice versa the 2 years before that when they won 11, and the same thing with Michigan this year. And the two-loss Michigan team you had last year, the differences in talent and ability on the field much more narrow than they were in the Bull Woody days.
Yeah, oh, that's
you know,
true.
It's just much more competitive. So I think some of these fans are misplacing their criticism, but you know, it's their right. That's why they're fans, right?
Yep. Hey, did you see the Seth Mitchell fight?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did.
Yeah.
And you know, Earl, I got to tell you, man, as disappointed as I was about the outcome,
mm-hmm.
I think Seth may have that problem where he got that chin disconnected, you know, the fight he had with Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he just may be susceptible to that big punch, Earl, because the punch he got hurt against in his last fight, initially hurt before he even went down, was not a devastating punch as far as I could see.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a little half-hearted left hook, mm-hmm. left uppercut hook. And it really hurt him. And after that, he couldn't recover. And I'm starting to wonder if he doesn't have some type of long-term weakness with his chin. I hope not. I hope he comes back from this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it really put a dent in his progress. And it's going to be difficult to overcome that because, you know, the commentators at the fight, you know, they were writing him off before the interview was even completed. So.
Yeah, because I had him on, you know, right after that, and
I heard that.
You know, he was, you know, he's quick, but boy, when the way Jonathan Banks jumped on him, I mean, as soon as he had him in trouble, Jonathan Banks did the right thing. He just jumped on him. He just didn't give him. He never recovered from that first knockout.
Down. No, he didn't. And Banks fought a smart fight.
He did.
Smart strategy. I was just amazed that he got hurt in the first place by the punch that Banks hurt him with. It just didn't seem to be that consequential of a punch, and I hope I'm wrong. You know, I remember my dad telling me a long time ago when I first became a fight fan, said once that chin gets disconnected once, it's easier to do it the second time.
Yeah,
and I think that may be the case with Mr. Mitchell. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I'm still pulling for him to get that championship fight, but I was very disappointed, and I'm pulling for him to come back from that performance.
Yeah, me too as well. Hopefully he will, and, you know, he still seems to have a bright – that one loss, as we know, one loss won't kill you. It won't destroy you, so you can come back from one loss. We'll just have to see how he comes back, you know, from that adversity.
That's right, no doubt.
Okay.
All right,
okay, we'll talk to you later, Dennis. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Dennis here talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Aaron, boy, we've seen a lot of football. Boy, I tell you, I saw so much football this weekend, college and professional ball. And they're almost looking – college and professional ball are looking so much alike these days. I mean, yes, you've got all the different brands in college ball. You got, you know, spread out lines and a lot of spread offenses and such. But they're starting to get more closer together because what they're doing, they're bringing all the quarterbacks that are going into the NFL now. They're probably adapting a lot of their plays that they ran in college to the NFL, and they're finding out that they're working. So we'll probably see a lot more of the college guys that go to the NFL. They'll put a lot of their plays in the playbook.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of seeing that with RG3 in Washington a little bit. But, you know, I mean, I think we kind of saw it back in the day when Vic was in his prime. I'm drawing a blank on some of the other guys that can actually run and throw at the same time. But
you got, what, Cam Newton and these other guys.
But if you think about it, though, I think the majority of most NFL teams still kind of have your sort of stay in the pocket, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, Stafford is the same way. It's not like he's a running quarterback.
Right.
Sure, can he run? He's probably a little bit. He's probably, I would say, middle toward the end of the pack as far as speed is concerned for QBs. But you know what? You know, he's not going to run. He's not going to outrun anyone by any means on the defensive side. But I don't know if all teams are still going to. I still think the majority of teams are still going to play that pro style offense. You know, under center or, you know, shotgun, whatever the case is. So, you know, I think we've just kind of been lucky in the sense of having, athletes like RG3 kind of come along and teams adapting to his style to better the team that way.
Exactly. I mean, him and Andrew Luck, those two, those are two special quarterbacks, and they're going to be around for a long time if they don't get hurt or anything. Well, hey, it's always a pleasure talking to you each and every day, and I want to thank you for calling. And let me give you the number one more time if you want a chance to win tickets. 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State basketball or Michigan State hockey. So give us a call once again, 517-884-4783. You've been listening to Michigan State Radio, University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.